We'll give you the glory and we'll give you the praise for it. Thank you, Father, for your anointing and call upon me to minister your word, and we will forever praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, say amen.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Last week, I ministered to you concerning obedience to God. As a matter of fact, let's do this. Turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children, or be followers of God as dear children. Now, let me say this to you. If we are imitating God, or if we are following God, we can't be following something else. Right? Amen. And so we're told to follow God. The King James Version says, be followers of God. If we're to follow God, if we're to imitate God, do what he does, say what he says, act like he act, and Jesus was our example. Am I right? Amen. And we have the Word of God to instruct us every day of how we should conduct our lives and the things we should do and in the things we should do and in the things that we should not do. So we're told to imitate God. Now, I want to say this to you. The Bible has a whole lot to say about faith. How many of you know faith is very, very important? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in book of Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him without faith. So we know that faith is very, very important. So the Bible has a lot to say about faith. The Bible also has a lot to say about love. Has a whole lot to say about love. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about health and healing. How many of you know God wants us well? Yeah. Amen. God wants us well. The devil wants you sick. And yes, we live in a fallen world where he rules. The Bible tells us that he is the God of this world. Now, that's little g, okay? Please don't misunderstand. That's little g, and he's the only God of the world system. You understand? Y'all with me? He's God of this worldly system. Additional proof of that is, you've heard me mention it many, many times, where after Jesus had fasted, and he had completed his fast, the Bible tells us that he was tempted by the devil. And one of the things that the devil offered him was the world, if he would bow down and worship him. Well, how could he offer him the world if the world didn't belong to him? Well, Pastor, how did that happen? It happened when Adam fell. It happened when Adam fell. When Adam disobeyed God and chose to obey the devil, then guess what? He handed everything that he had authority over, he handed over to the devil. You still with me? But health and healing belongs to us. It is God's. Let me tell you, don't you ever lose sight of this. I don't care. It don't matter what you're dealing with right now. It matters. But what I'm saying is, regardless of the way you feel, regardless of whatever report you may have been given, always understand this one thing. Never lose sight of it. God wants you well. You hear me? God wants you well. Amen. Jesus told us that he came to do the will of his Father. Amen. And what was one of the things that Jesus did? Well, he healed the sick. He healed the sick, didn't he? And then didn't he instruct us to go and do likewise, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Heal the sick, cast out devils, didn't he? Yeah. Then why would he tell us that if he wanted us sick? He wants us well. And then, you know, and I certainly don't have time to go into it today. We won't. But there are many reasons that people are sick, and some of it is self-inflicted. Some of it is self-inflicted. But sickness did not come from God. God cannot give you what he don't have. There are no sick folk walking around in heaven. Can I say that again? There are no sick folk walking around in heaven. They might have been sick when they were on the earth, but they're not sick now. But Jesus said, we'll to pray in this manner, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So look, since the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, yes, we are in our physical bodies, but the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Guess what? We're supposed to be like a little heaven on earth. Hallelujah. You're still here. So we have to understand that God wants us well. And let me say this, and I'm going to move on. You cannot have faith for healing. You cannot have faith to be healed if you do not believe it's God's will. If you think God has put that on you, there's no use in praying to be healed. First of all, we need to change the way we think. We need to get back in the Word of God and see what the Bible says. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I thank God for the medical profession, because there'd be a whole lot of Christians in heaven. Early. Amen. Well, let me move on. Y'all still with me. So let me say this again. The Bible has a whole lot to say about faith. The Bible has a whole lot to say about love, our health, and our healing. The Bible has a lot to say about finances. Can I help you with something else? God does not want you poor. All through the Word of God, Old and New Testament, we find where the Bible tells us to give to the poor, to help the poor. Why? Because God wants their needs met. But you know what? God also wants the poor to find Jesus Christ if they don't know him. He wants them to get in his word and find out what he has provided for them. Because if you give a man a fish, he can eat for one meal. But if you teach him how to fish, he'll never go hungry again. You're still here. Now, also, the Bible has a lot to say about our lifestyle and morality. Mm-hmm. Now, we cannot pick and choose what we want to believe. We really can't pick and choose how we want to live. Am I right? So having said that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of James, the first chapter. This is important, folks. James, the first chapter. Now, James was teaching here and he was talking about being doers of the word, not hearers only. That's verse 22. Verse 23 says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and does and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So he's teaching us here, the word of God is teaching that we should be doers of God's word and not hearers only. So we need to be doers of God's word when it comes to faith. We need to be doers of God's word when it comes to love. We need to be doers of God's word when it comes to health and our healing. And we need to be doers of God's word when it comes to our lifestyle. When it comes to morality, we need to be doers of God's word. Listen to what he says in verse 27. It says, and I'm skipping down, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Somebody say amen. I mean, that's the job of the church. Praise God. But listen it. What else it says? And, everybody say and. And to keep oneself, what? To keep oneself unspotted from the world. Hallelujah. Put verse 27 on the screen. I mean, the amplified version of verse 27 on the screen for me, please. It says, external, religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts, what we do, good things we do. Amen. And by the way, you work because you're saved. You're not working trying to get saved. In other words, we don't work our way to heaven. We are born again because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. So let me read it again. External religious worship, religion, and this is the Amplified Classic. External religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts, that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God, the Father, God the Father is this, to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction. And, everybody say and need, I'm misreading this, let me reread that again. Let me start from the very beginning, I'm gonna read it again. External religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts, that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God the Father, is this, to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and need. All right? Now say and. And to keep oneself unspotted and what?
Uncontaminated
from the world. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed for us in the Gospel of John, 17th chapter. And in his prayer for us, he prayed that, he said, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. Because once we're out of the world, we're gone. Well, I mean, we can't, once you leave here, there's nothing else you can do for God in the earth. So he says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the earth, but keep them from the evil or from the evil one. Amen? Let me tell you something. We are supposed to be different. Can I get an amen on that? We are supposed to be different. The world should be able to tell the difference between a Christian, a believer, than an unbeliever. Not so much by what they say, but by their lifestyle, by their morals. Y'all getting excited about this yet? Bless the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Is it all right with y'all if I read a little bit? I am reading from the Word of God here. Y'all know that, right? I am called to preach the whole counsel of God, not to pick and choose. And if we're going to be an imitator of God, then we're going to have to do what he tells us to do. Verse 1 again. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now listen to what it says next in verse 2. And walk in love. So, you see that? And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But, everybody say but. But fornication. Now, in case anybody do not know what fornication and adultery is, fornication is having sex with somebody that you're not married to, someone other than your husband or your wife. Hallelujah. Now, see, I'm not ministering a condemning message. I'm ministering the Word of God, right? Amen. Christians shouldn't be fooling around. Non-Christians shouldn't be fooling around. That can get you hurt or killed. But and this is what he told us to be imitators of God. And then verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. You ready for this? Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Amen. When you say your marriage vows, you are committing to God and that person that you're married, that you are going to be true to them and them only. Amen. As a Christian, you should not be acting like you're married and you're not. Thank you for that encouragement. Why in the world would the Bible it talk so much about this stuff if it wasn't important to God? Y'all want me to stop right there or keep reading? Thank you. So I'm going to read 3 again, then we'll move on. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but what should we be doing? We should be giving thanks, not telling dirty jokes. Anything we need to learn how to do is thank God and bless God and praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you. You got that? Let no one deceive you with empty words. Oh, it's all right. God understands. God will forgive you. God knows you're just human. That lying devil. Verse 6 again. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be what? Partakers with them. Oh, you ready for this? For you were once darkness. At one time in our lives, that's what we did. We were in darkness. Now, you may not have fornicated or adulterated, or you may not have done some of those things even before you found Christ, but yet and still you were in darkness because you didn't know Jesus. So he's telling us, listen, at one time in your life, you were in darkness. You didn't know Christ. Verse 8 again, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Say, I'm light in the Lord.
I'm light in the Lord.
Come on, say it again.
I'm light in the Lord.
Well, if you light in the Lord, then walk as children of light. Isn't that what it tells us to do? As children of light. Remember, Jesus told us in Matthew that we are the light of the world, right? We're like a lamp stand sitting on a hill for all to see. You are here to light the world so that people can see Jesus Christ in you. That's the reason we're here. So we are to walk as children of light. For the fruit, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That's what we need to seek after. And, now this is in your Bible too, right? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Listen, if we are children of the light, then we don't need to be playing around with darkness. But we're told to expose them. For it is shameful, this is verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Folks, here's what I want you to understand. The world is getting darker and darker and darker. But we cannot forget who we are. Bless the name of the Lord. On the screen, please give me Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. New King James Version, be fine. Isaiah 60, verse 1. And you can write it down if you would like. Listen what it says. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Look at verse 2. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall do what? Oh, yes. Folks, we are so close. So close to the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And listen to this. And deep darkness to people. Don't that sound like today? Brothers and sisters, that is today. And deep darkness to people. But listen to God's promise to us who choose to walk in the light. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. Why? Because we're a light set on a hill shining bright. The glory of God. Letting people know Jesus Christ is still the answer. Jesus Christ is still the way. Are you still here? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But we just can't settle in and just act like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Can't help myself. Yes, you can help yourself. Let me tell you something. As a child of God, God has given us everything we need to live for him. We just have to learn what it is. That's the reason we have his word. That's the reason we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to study the word of God. We have to learn who we are. We have to learn what God expects from us. Y'all hear me? We have to grow. We have to grow. I've been saved a long time, but guess what? I'm still growing. How about you? I'm still growing. I haven't gotten where I want to be yet, but I'm forging ahead. I'm moving forward. Don't fall for the lies that people tell you. It's all right. God understands. Thank you, Jesus. So make a decision. Yes, I used to be in darkness, but I make a decision. I'm going to walk in the light of God. Amen. I'm going to walk in the light of God. I gotta let you go, but I want you to turn to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. How many of you know that we're saved by grace? Amen. By grace are we saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for his saving grace. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. But then when we go to Romans chapter 6, I'll begin reading at verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" See, God never called us to himself for us to continue in sin. Thank God he made a way out when we do sin and we miss it, right? Yes, he gave us a way out. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to do what? He will forgive us, and then he'll clean up our mess. He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But here's the point I want to make to you is, yes, he will do that, but we don't want to abuse that. It's been said, well, just go ahead and do it. God will forgive you. You know God is a forgiving God, so just go ahead and do it. Let me tell you, whatever it is you want to do, yes, God is a forgiving God, and he'll wash you clean. Yes, he will. But I will tell you this, sin has consequences. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. This is a real easy example. Let's just say a person's married, but they decide they want to fool around a little bit. Let's say it's a male. He want to fool around a little bit, find him a woman on the side, doing things that he should not be doing. And he get that woman pregnant. And he say, oh man, what have I done? So he go to the Lord, in sincerity, not trying to play God. He goes to God in sincerity and say, Lord, I confess my sin. Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me of my sin. And he's saying this from his heart. And God forgives him. And God does what he says he's going to do in 1 John 1:9. He cleanses him from all unrighteousness. But do you know that baby is still in that woman's womb? The child is still there. So he asked God to forgive him, and God forgave him. But the consequences of his sin is still there. There are guys in prison right now. They're born again. Love God. Some of the things they did, for example, if they kill someone, that person's still dead. Sin has consequences. There's a saying that sin will, and you've heard me say it before, sin will take you further than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Yes, God is a forgiving God. Thank God he is a forgiving God. But that's the reason God instructs us in his word, because even as a Christian, when we do some things, there are consequences that follow. You know, you may ask God to forgive you, and he forgive you and wash you clean, but your wife may not be so forgiving. You hear me? You may lose your family over this. God forgave you. You're free, but you may lose your family. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Am I preaching good word to you? Remember, I told you God's called us, all of us, to preach the whole counsel of God. Glory, hallelujah. So, what shall we say then? This is Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, we continue in sin. Oh, grace got it. No. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also so should do what? Walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. You know, our sins were laid on Jesus Christ on the cross. And he took our sins to the grave, didn't he? And he rose again free of our sins, because he had none of his own. He rose again free of our sins. So our sins were buried with him. See, that's the reason we baptize in water. Water baptism is our testimony before heaven, before earth, before hell even, that I am no longer the same person I used to be. The old man is dead and buried in Christ Jesus. But I'm also risen with him. So we baptize here by immersion. We put you under the water and we bring you up. That's your testimony. That's the reason water baptism to mean anything, you must first be born again. You must first be born again, because that's your testimony, that I am risen with Christ Jesus. I used to walk in darkness, but now I'm a child of the light. Y'all still out there? Oh my, I got to quit. There's so much more I could tell you. But you have to understand, brothers and sisters, God wants us to honor him with our life. All righty. I'm just read for just a few minutes, and then I'm going to let you go. Is that all right? Amen. All right. Let me see here where I want to go. I'm still in chapter 6. All right, drop down to verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments, somebody say amen,
amen,
as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your member as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Get it out of your head that the devil can make you do anything. There used to be a TV show in the early 70s, that would come on, and the guy would say, well, the devil made me do it. The devil, some of y'all old enough to remember that show. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything if you're in Christ Jesus. If that was so, why would the word of God tell us to resist him and he will flee from us? When those urges come, resist them in the name of Jesus. Say, no, I will not do this. I will not sin against my God. And I won't sin against my own body. You have authority over this body. Let me say that again. You have authority over your body. And you can say no. Hallelujah. Turn, and this is my last reference. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. Look at verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9, 24. And do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Listen, let me tell you something. This is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to shine. This is our opportunity to shine bright. This is our opportunity to always say no to the devil, no to the temptations of the flesh, no. Because we are running to obtain the prize. Look at verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Everybody say temperate.
Temperate.
Come on, say it. Temperate.
Temperate.
Temperance means that you have things under control. You got your body under control. You have your feelings under control. You have to be temperate. So you can compare spiritual things with the natural things, just like an athlete. There's certain things that they just won't do because, and certain things they won't eat simply because it's not helping them in their, towards their goal to win the prize. Amen. So let me finish reading this. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, and he's talking about himself here, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. In other words, he says, I'm not shadow boxing. That's what I said, shadow boxing. This is what he said, and this is my final verse. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Your body's supposed to be in subjection to you. And he goes on to say, lest when I have preached to others, now here's the preacher talking. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I've been walking with the Lord a long time. A long time. And it really don't matter how long you've been walking with him. This is important. And I preached about this a few weeks back. I do not want to be disqualified. Remember when we were talking about the judgment seat of Christ and our works laid out before us and being tested by fire? I don't want mine burned. I don't want to run this race in vain. But let me tell you something. We don't have to run this race in vain. The devil will tell you, no, you can't do it. He's a liar. Listen to me. I'm getting ready to close. I don't know who my keyboard players are. Y'all come on out, wherever you are. But I'm really getting ready to quit. But let me tell you something. Anytime he tells you something, You know automatically it's a lie. Anytime he tells you you can't do what God tells you to do, he is a lie. Because we have the Spirit of God to help us, to lead us, to guide us. God is our enabler. He will help us. He will not tell us to do something that we couldn't do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Tells us that there is no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. God wouldn't allow devils to overtake you and tempt you to where you just can't help yourself. No. There's no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. Matter of fact, put that verse on the screen for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and this is my last one. Amen. Unless God gives me something else, but right now I think it's going to be last. No temptation has taken you or overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Somebody say God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, of what you are able. Now, I tell you what, do me a favor. Give me the original King James, the same verse, King James Version, because that's the way I was quoting it a while ago. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? Who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. Anything, you got to understand, anything that comes down the pipe, as a believer, you say, I can handle this because God's got it. God's got my back. But will, with the temptation, also make a way of it, a way to escape, that you may what? Be able to bear it. You may have to leave your cloak, your coat, but let that thing go. Get out of there. I'm talking about Joseph now. Sometimes folks stay where they are because they don't want to sacrifice nothing. Listen, God can give you another coat. He will give you another coat. And because Joseph chose to get out of there in the time of temptation, guess what? God used him to save his own nation, his own family. What does God want to do with you? One sinful woman could have kept him from the call of God on his life to deliver God's people. One woman ain't worth it. Two women ain't worth it. Men either. Follow God. Imitate God. I gotta quit. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, I didn't preach this message to condemn anybody. I'm preaching it to let you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and that you don't have to live in any kind of way. That you don't have to put up with just anything. I hope you have 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 marked in your Bible, and I hope you go back and read it often. Anytime the devil tempt you with anything. Matter of fact, can I offer you a suggestion? I am closing. Oh, hallelujah, I'm closing. Thank you, Jesus, I'm closing. Mm-hmm. But I have one more thing I want to tell you. When you're sitting in front of that computer, or when you're looking at that tablet, or when you have that cell phone out, and the devil drops that thought in your mind, slide over to the porno pages. I got some good stuff over there I want to show you. Rather than sliding over to the porno pages, just pull up your Bible app and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and read it. That's God's medicine to you. Take it as much as you need it. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. You guys ready yet? Y'all better do something. I might not ever quit. Glory to God. Let me give the invitation. Glory to God. Listen to me. I want to speak to those that are...